lasso. So all of the members of our tribe have now gathered. My good friend Mugi, a monk from Mongolia, has joined us as well. I'd like for him to introduce himself tonight, but for right now I'd like to just go right to the meditation with a very brief preface. This morning we'll venture into the practice called shamatha without a sign, or shamatha without signs. And a sign here is an object to which one can direct the attention and make sense of it, lock onto it within the context of a conceptual framework. In other words, basically is an object. So shamatha without a sign, shamatha without an object, shamatha without a support. These are all synonyms. And sometimes it's simply called shamatha focused on awareness. It's also called awareness of awareness. But it all boils down to the same thing. So we'll start with a very brief quiz. When you're settling the mind in its natural state, and your mind has settled in its natural state, what is now appearing to your awareness? What is now appearing to your awareness once you've achieved shamatha? You're attending there, so just refresh your memory. You're attending to the space of the mind and whatever arises within it. And then the mind settles, has settled in its natural state, right? You've achieved shamatha. Now what appears to your awareness? Close, but not quite. The substrate. Because what you're attending to is the space of the mind, that's an object. And what appears in the space of the mind, that's an object. But now, what appears in the space is all dissolved, and all you're left with is the space. And now it's the moon without any of the layers of clouds. Now it's just the pure, unmediated substrate, or gunxi, according to the Dzogchen tradition. And then, of course, and Malcolm is still right, and that is, what are you aware of? Well, you're aware of the substrate. That's what's appearing to your awareness. But now, because there is this profound uncluttered-ness, lack of complication or complexity in the awareness, your awareness, your mind has been dissolved into substrate consciousness, gunji namshe, and so it's become utterly simplified. All that appears to it is awareness. But of course, in this very simple, non-conceptual experience, your experience of the substrate is not really, how do you say, distinctly differentiated from your awareness of substrate consciousness. Now this morning, we'll go on to the awareness of awareness. So the preceding little quiz should be a great big hint to the correct answer to this question. If you practice just awareness of awareness, which means you have no interest in any appearances to the mind, not the space of the mind, not the physical senses, and not anything that arises in the mind, no interest in any of those, all you're interested in is just the sheer awareness, and then you achieve shamatha, now what do you experience? Michelle knows, so I have to go to somebody who hasn't practiced quite as much as she has. What are you aware of now? Substrate consciousness, exactly. Because you are focused in on the subject all the way through. And the subject was very cluttered at the beginning. There's a lot going on in the mind, thoughts arising, and emotions and desires and so forth. But now that you've achieved shamatha, all that's become simplified. Your particular mind, man's mind, woman's mind, and so forth and so on, all dissolved. So now that which you're attending to has become simple. And in the words of the Penchen Rinpoche, Penchen Losa Chuki Gyantsen, the tutor of the fifth Dalai Lama, he said, now you recognize the essential nature of the mind. He's not speaking of ultimate nature, he's not speaking of emptiness, but singing ngō mūnsin chevere. Now you recognize, now you got to it. Philosophers have been pondering the mind for many centuries, and neurophysiologists trying to figure out the neural substrates of the mind. Psychologists have written how many hundreds or thousands of books about the mind. And here's a way, by the good old-fashioned technique of direct observation, that you actually get the right answer. The right answer is not an answer, it's an immediate experience of simply seeing the very nature of the mind, that out of which your mind emerges, and that of which your mind is of the same nature. That's a clumsy sentence. But your mind is nothing other than, is formed of, consists of nothing other than configured substrate consciousness. Okay? So think of the mind as the snowflake, substrate consciousness as liquid water. Okay, no further ado. Let's jump in. Okay? We'll be following the method taught by Padmasambhava. It's the clearest, most detailed instruction I've seen anywhere. This is from the Natural Liberation. Settle your body in its natural state as you let your awareness descend into the body and fill the space of the body. And rest your body with the three qualities of relaxation, stillness, and vigilance. The untrained mind is in some respects like a troubled child or a little baby that's upset and crying. So how to get the baby to calm down, to stop crying? Well, of course you could try forceful methods. Not very nice. But the gentle method would be to rock the baby in your arms or put the baby in a cradle and rock back and forth until the little baby calms down. Settle this inner voice, this inner speech of the mind, the inner commentary. Settle this voice like a troubled child. In the gentle rhythm of the in and out breath, effortlessly flowing out, effortlessly flowing in. And with each out breath, release the energy behind this obsessive and compulsive flow of thoughts. In this way, settle your respiration in its natural rhythm, whether it's long or short, deep or shallow, regular or irregular, by way of the breath. This unmodified breath. Let your body establish its own equilibrium. And settle your mind in its natural state, imbued with the qualities of relaxation, stillness, and vividness, by attending for a little while to the space of the body and the sensations of the breath. Sustain the flow of mindfulness of in and out breathing, relaxing with each out breath. And now let your eyes be open. And rest your gaze in the intervening space in front of you, which is to say, do not attend to or focus on any shape or color, any object in the visual field, but rather attend to the space itself, the space in front of you. Observe it closely, this space. Is it merely nothing? Is it a mere absence? Or does this space have qualities that you can directly observe? Focus very sharply, concentrate on this space in front of you. And then utterly relax, just sustain the flow of awareness without losing clarity, without falling into distraction or grasping onto anything. Just relax and be aware. Once again, arouse your attention, focus, observe very intently this space. And then at your leisure, relax. So in this way, oscillate between concentrating very clearly on this space in front of you, and then deeply relaxing, concentrating and relaxing at your own rhythm, but sustain throughout an ongoing flow of mindfulness without falling into either distraction or grasping, without excitation or laxity. It is crucial that there's a deep sense of ease and softness in the body and in the mind, a sense of looseness. So with that in mind, experiment with breathing through the nostrils or breathing through the mouth and see which mode of breathing is most conducive. Now occasionally pose a question. What is the nature of the consciousness that is concentrating and releasing, concentrating and releasing? This is a question not inviting thought or cogitation, but direct observation. Withdraw your attention right into the very nature of consciousness itself and attend closely and then release again. Do this in an alternating fashion. may conjoin this practice with a gentle Vas breathing called in Tibetan Jamlung. Jamlung Bomaje. If you wish, or simply do the practice by itself. Any discursive thoughts that arise in this practice, release them instantly and maintain to the best of your ability an ongoing flow of non-conceptual, non-discursive awareness, direct observation. Let's bring this session to a close. Kusho, nghe trong số này biểu kết đó chỉ là bình đuôi, cô đeo đó chỉ là cái đuôi, bình đuôi, là, mà đêm mà nghe biểu kết ở đó, trong số này nghe biểu kết đó chỉ là cái là bình đuôi, cô à đó chỉ sáu đuôi, sinh tú, đó là gì? Lasso. I was just asking Mugi whether it's helpful sometimes for me to speak in Tibetan, because he's not only fluent in his native tongue, Mongolian, also in English, also he speaks Tibetan. So, multifaceted. And so just occasionally I'll slip in just phrases, but it's just the Tibetan of the English of the Tibetan. So very briefly here, this practice of awareness in terms of lineage. I was first taught this in 1975 by Geshe Rabten, who gave utterly marvelous teachings on the root text and commentary on Mahamudra by the Penchen Lama, Penchen Chukyi Gyantsen, Penchen Losen Chukyi Gyantsen, 75, extremely clear. And then when I went into my first long shamatha retreat in 1980, His Holiness taught me again, very briefly. 1988, Gyalam Rima, when he came for the one-year retreat, to lead the one-year retreat, he taught me again. And then through the 90s, especially the early 90s, then Venerable Gyatso Rinpoche taught me again and again and again. I think they must have thought I was a slow learner. It's true. So multiple lineages, but all the same practice. And so there it is, very simple, very direct. And the Buddha Shakyamuni said this is the most profound of all the shamatha practices. So, jolly good. So it's 9:30. See you all in the afternoon. Oh, I didn't quite complete the first day. The first day of teaching, Padmasambhava, when he taught this, he gave that instruction. I gave only a little bit of elaboration in accordance with Gyatso Rinpoche's own commentary. He said that simple method right there of that concentrating on space and then releasing, concentrating on space, releasing, and then checking up on that which is concentrating and releasing, he said right there, that can solve the problems of laxity and excitation. So simple, incredibly profound, very simple. And then he says, throughout the course of the day, maintain constant mindfulness. So that simply cannot be overemphasized. In one way or another, we're not trying to, what it is not, this in-between practice, it's not locking down, getting tense, trying to really hold your mind, you know, it's not that. It's just the opposite, of course. But it is releasing the obsessive and compulsive flow of thought, the namdo. It's releasing that, but being relentless. So I'm coming back to Elizabeth's comment last night. This commentator, whether it's a nice commentator, judging commentator, blah, blah, blah commentator, just say, you know, zero tolerance. It's as if this is a support group for thoughtaholics. Okay? We don't take a little mild sip once in a while. A little red wine to go with, you know, to help that digestion. We're thoughtaholics, right? We're completely addicted, and it doesn't even taste good. And so, I understand if you join AA, the idea is you don't just occasionally just have a little bit of alcohol. It's absolute, you know, cut, no more at all, don't even think about it, not, zero, zero tolerance. So why not? Why not just kind of say, all right, I want to be free. I don't want to be constricted, but I don't want to be in bondage to my own mind. And so when I want to think, I will think. When I want to daydream, I will daydream. Think creatively. The whole array of thinking is right there at our disposal. But for us to do the thinking and for us not to be the thought, not dominated by this obsessive and compulsive mind. So in between sessions, ongoing flow of mindfulness. And Gyatso Rinpoche made a very interesting suggestion here. I was just reviewing his commentary. And that is, he said, we have a variety, of course. You may maintain ongoing flow of mindfulness of breathing. You may be walking very mindfully and be very aware of the sensations of the earth and your feet. So variety, you may watch the mind, observe the events in the mind. All of these are good, and you can do all of them at any time. And here's one more you might really enjoy. And that is, in between sessions, sustain the awareness of space. Let your awareness rest in space. And just always be in touch with space. So you're doing everything that needs to be done, you're attending to the environment, but just that ongoing presence of space and be there. And final point, he spoke of one of his own primary teachers, Dujum Rinpoche. Dujum Rinpoche was the late head of the whole Nyingma order, an incredible yogi. And he said that he could tell, because he knew him very well, he was a very close disciple. In fact, he was the representative of Dujum Rinpoche for the whole West Coast. He said that Dujum Rinpoche, during in-between sessions, when he would be at the mall, he'd be just walking around, he could tell, I don't know how he learned this, but I'll take his word for it, that Dujum Rinpoche was always resting his awareness in space and in between sessions, gently holding the gentle Vass breathing as he's walking around and just like that. Cool, isn't it? Okay. Enjoy your day, and I'll see you at 4:30.